difficult field. So continue to pray for them. Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. While you turn, I'll read that passage of Scripture. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. One of the things that we need to remember about God, no matter it's whether it's good times or bad times, that all the time God is good. Amen? We went to camp one year, and the theme of the camp was God is good. All the time, God is good. Let's say that together. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That means, when you're sick, God is still good. Amen. When you wreck your car, God is still good. When you need a job, God is still good. In the valley of the shadow of death, God is still good. And so we thank the Lord for a good God. Amen. And so we want to see that we should never forget the goodness of God. Nahum simply says in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. Now Nahum was trying to remind the children of Israel in their backslidden state of the goodness of God, that he was still a good God, and basically trying to reclaim them or recall them back to him, that a good God would forgive their sin. Amen. A good God would accept them and reclaim them and reuse them and bless them again. And that's all a part of the goodness of God. But when you think of God's goodness, you first of all think that God is good by simply his nature. In other words, his makeup. Now, man is sinful by nature, but God in his character is good. The Bible says again, the Lord is good, Nahum 1:7. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 25 and verse 8 says, good and upright is the Lord. So we see this goodness of God is the natural character of God. What do we mean by that? We mean that all of God's desires for mankind is good. In other words, folks, he wants us to be saved. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He wants mankind, he wants a sinful, rebellious, unbelieving mankind to believe, to repent, and to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Anything and everything that God has done for us and that he wants of us is out of a natural character of goodness. You know, sometimes we wonder about the will of God and the plan of God and the purpose of God. And we ask ourselves this question, is this really what is best for me? Well, you don't have to question that when it truly comes and you know for sure that it comes from God. Because God's not going to lead us, amen, in paths of righteousness. He's going to lead us in the path of righteousness, not unrighteousness. And so anything that the Lord does, anything that the Lord desires, anything the Lord works through in our life, it's for our good, and it comes from a God who is always good. Say it with me again. The Lord is, let's say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. You know, folks, that puts God's work in our life in perspective. I may not understand it. I may not even agree with it. I may not even know where it's going to lead me. But I know if it's of God because it's of his character, it is a good work. God, in fact, you know what, folks? God cannot do anything that's not good because he's good by nature. Then we need to see also that the work of God is good. Look with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms. Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. In verse 68, Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68 says, Thou art good and doest good, teach me thy statutes. Thou art good and doest good. You see, the work of God, not only the nature of God, but the work of God is good. And you see that basically in the creative work of God. When you think of how he created the world and the universe and what he thought of it, you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, and you read this passage of Scripture. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31 says, and God saw everything. And God saw everything. God saw everything. And God saw everything that he made. Amen. He saw it all. I mean, he was there when it was created. Amen. Because he created it and he saw it. And guess what he said? And behold, what? It was what? Very good. Do you know what, folks? He created us in his creative work for a good work to do. Amen. Now, sin has separated us from that ability, but now we've accepted Jesus Christ, and he's given us that ability to do a good work again. In fact, Psalm chapter 33, verse 5 says, "The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. All that God created shows forth the goodness of God." And it does so in three ways. First of all, can you think of something that is perfectly fit together, like creation? I mean, think of all the mass universe and all of the planets and all that the stars and all that's out there in space. It's interesting to note that the Enterprise has never crashed into a planet. Amen. And planets don't collide. The sun doesn't collide in the earth. The moon doesn't collide with the sun. I mean, it's all kept and it all fits together. This could not. Folks, it is impossible. You know this. It is impossible for this just to have happened. The Big Bang Theory is a theory with no bang, basically, because it's impossible for something like that to happen. But when we think of the goodness of God, we see it in his creation because it all fits. Secondly, it all has a plan. All of creation has a plan. Aren't you glad for fish? Boy, I'm glad. I like to catch some. Amen. I'm glad for cows. How many are glad for cows? Raise your hand. Amen. T-bone steaks, hamburgers. Amen. How many are glad for cats? I am. They make good target practice. At any rate, all of it has a... did I make somebody mad? Good. At any rate... But it all has a plan. You think of the trees that we have and the rivers that we have. God created everything. He created man last, and he created all of this for us. Think of the sun and the moon where they're at. If they were closer, if the sun was closer to us, we'd burn up. If the moon was closer to us, we'd freeze to death. And so everything that fits together has a perfect plan that God created because he does things that are good. And it was created, as I said, for our benefit. Thirdly, it was created for us. The animals were created, the trees were created, the water was created, everything was created for our benefit. Man, you go out and see the mountains and see the glory and the wonder and the beauty of them. That was created for us, folks. And everything that God created was to bless and benefit mankind. That shows that God has a great work in creation. But he also has a great work in salvation. Because the Bible says in Psalm chapter 25, verse 8, "Good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way." Listen, God had a great work in saving us. He developed the plan before the foundation of the world. He developed a plan that his son would die for our sins. The Bible says, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." What a wonderful thing to think of the goodness of God when we were undeserving of that. When he knew that Adam and Eve, before they were created, would partake of the forbidden fruit, would sin and plunge the whole human race into sin from that point on, and that his son, his only begotten son, would have to die and suffer and pay the price and shed his blood for our sins. He knew all of that would happen, and yet he did it anyway because he wanted something good for us. And that was, of course, our salvation. What a wonderful thing to realize. Listen, that while we don't deserve it and we can't earn it, God gave it to us because of his good nature. Because he desires the goodness of his character to come out in the lives of people who need need his goodness. Also, there's the special works for the saints. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works." You know, it's wonderful to think that I'm saved. And that's a first step. And thank God for that. But you know, there's something good for me to do. There's a good work for me to do. And you know, when I work for God, I don't have to worry about whether it's sinister or not, whether it's evil or not, whether it's wrong or not. I know that what I do for the Lord is a good work. Again, let me read that. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God gave the goodness of His love to us through salvation so He could give the goodness of our ability to work for Him and do something of eternal value. Listen, I want our church to understand we are not serving God just for today. Amen? You're not serving God just for today. You're serving God for the eternal remembrance and the reward that you will receive one day in heaven. That those, the gospel that is spread, the people that you win to Christ, the life that is lived, the ministry that you have, whatever you do and whatever God leads you to do and whatever you submit to. Listen, I want you to know something. That all of that is remembered. All of that will be rewarded one day. And it will be an eternal reward in heaven. You know, again, Sunday school teachers and discipleship workers and those that interpret and teach the deaf and nursery workers and those that sing and have a part of the music and the bus ministry. They go on visitation and flea markets and door to door and so on and so on. They live a holy and pure and righteous life. Let me tell you something. God remembers that. He's going to reward that. It's a good work because it's of eternal value. There's so much that's done today that doesn't really mean much. There's some that we have to do. But there's so many things that bring no meaning to real life. And yet these people missed real meaning in life because they will not give their heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, live for Him today. And if you have it from, you didn't do it today, do it tomorrow. Amen. And from that day forward, and make each and every day count for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because it's a special work. It's a good work. It's a work that God blesses and remembers and rewards you. But then lastly, there's the will of God. You know, there's the will of God that's good. The Bible says the Lord is good. And He has a will for us. He has something for us to accomplish. He has a plan and a purpose for our life to fulfill. And the Bible reminds us that we're to be a lighthouse. We're to be salt and light to this world in Matthew chapter 5. In other words, we're to be a testimony to others. Hebrews chapter 10, we're to encourage others. We're to be an encouragement as a Christian. We're to be a help to others. 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse 18, we're to be an example of faith according to James chapter 2, verse 17. And we're to be a witness to the lost according to Matthew chapter 20, 28. Listen, there's so many other things that the will of God encompasses, that of understanding the word of God and prayer and again, so many other things. But there's a will of God. And you know, it's good. Don't be afraid of the will of God. Don't be afraid that God may call you to a mission field. Bless God, go. Amen? That's the best place you could ever be. But He hasn't called everybody there. But He may call you to live a holy and righteous life and to give up something that He will give something back to you that's 10 times better. He may cause you to change directions and change ideas and philosophies of your life. He may cause you to have a new attitude toward the things of God. Listen, change and don't be afraid to change. When it's of God and not of Obama. You know, one of the good things is that we can live a completed life. How many have ever started something and didn't complete it? Yeah, I'm with you. I've got too many projects already that I need to finish, but and have started and never completed. But listen to this verse. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Aren't you glad that when God saved you, He gave you the ability to complete something, a complete a life? Look what it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, there's a good work that God has for you, a will. And it's a work to do His will. And what He wants of your life and what He wants of my life is to allow that will to be fulfilled each and every day. He wants to perform that will each and every day until He calls us home. Because when He calls us home, the will of God, the work of God that He's called us to do will be completed. It will be something that is fulfilled. You will do everything that you're supposed to do. Talk to the people that you were supposed to talk to. Be in the ministries that you were supposed to. Bear the fruit that you were supposed to. Live the life that you were supposed to. Give the money that you were supposed to. Sacrifice the way that you were supposed to. Be a testimony to the lost world that you were supposed to. And when you go and stand before the Lord, you can stand before the Lord and know that you've lived the life to the best of your ability that you could while you were here on earth. Boy, you know what? You can't look 10 years down the road. You just have to look at today and say, Lord, help me to do Your will and live for You today. And then when tomorrow comes, help me to do it tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You know what? You can't worry about next week or next month or next year. You just have to trust God for today and live for today and grow today and be more like Jesus Christ today and be a little bit better testimony today. And then tomorrow comes, you do it all over again, but even better and more. Because God has a good work that He wants to do in you according to His will. Well, how do we understand God's goodness? Well, we understand God's goodness from the words of His Word. Folks, too many Christians do not know what the Word of God says, so they don't understand the goodness of God. Too many people are blaming God for all of the tragedies of life, but never any of the blessings. They see hurricanes and buildings being blown up and wars and everything as an act of a God who is not someone they want to trust or live for. And yet most of that is because of a sinful mankind that will not turn to a good God. I wonder what America would be like if our leaders understood the goodness of God. I wonder if our pulpits preached the truths of God's word and people understood the goodness of God, how they would live and what God would do for this country. The first thing we need to do is understand the word of God. Because when we understand the word of God and we read about God from His word, we understand that He's always good. You know, you look at Israel. How many times would you and I give Israel a second and third and fourth and fifth chance? I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't. But God did. You look at all the minor prophets and they're basically calling Israel back to God. And over and over again, these men are proclaiming as the voice of God, the message of God, the heart of God, saying, come back, come back. I'll accept you. I'll forgive you. That's the goodness of God. Amen. That reminds us that when we've sinned, when we failed, listen, that God convicts us and He calls us back. And when we come back, He accepts us, He forgives us, and He continues from that point on to bless us. Know the Word of God. Amen. Understand what the Word says, because when you read the Word, you read about God. Then understand your place. Understand your place in this world. I've been put here for a reason. I don't know what it is. No, I do know what it is. But I've been put here for a reason. And so have you. And you know what it's to do? It's to accomplish something good for God. I am not here as a bystander. I'm not here to watch the game of life and watch others win people to Christ, live for Christ, worship the Lord, and so on and so forth. I'm here to be a participant. And so are you. And when we come to that realization that we are to participate together, we understand the principle of our life, the importance of our life. God, I like this. I saw it on a poster. God doesn't save any junk. It is terrible English, but it is so true. Do you get that point? You're not junk. I don't care what Washington says about Christians. One of these days, you and I are going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're going to be ushered in to the glories of heaven, to the throne room of God. We're going to be able to fellowship with each other for an eternity. And that's just the beginning. And it's going to be a perfect place, a beautiful place, a wonderful place. We're going to enjoy that like we've never enjoyed anything in our life. And that's because of who we are. Know the Word and know the importance of your life, that God is good. Thirdly, understand the result of the work that God has you to do. It ends with something good. Someone asked, if I live for God, if I live a holy life, if I come to church and I read my Bible and pray and I give my tithes and I do it out of a heart of love and so on and so forth, in the end, what will it result for my life? I don't know what the blessings of God will be for you, but I know whatever God has for you, it's going to be good. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. It never equals 4.1, 5, or 3. It always equals 4. 2 + 2 = 4. Your life lived for God in accordance to His will can only end up one way, unless God's a liar. How many believe God's lies today? Not a hand. If you live for God, the only thing that your life can end up being is good. And that's because God is so good. He's so good. He's so good to me. And He's so good to you. Listen, what should we do? Let's rejoice. We serve a good God. Let's have a positive outlook on life. Who cares? You know, I don't know what tomorrow may hold for Washington or for Afghanistan or Iraq. You know what? I serve a good God. I'm going to go and look at life and say, man, God is so good. He's given me something worth living for. Be positive and be joyous and be on the outlook for ways of ministry and people to talk to and have a difference in your life, that people see something that they want, and that is the goodness of God. You realize that. And boy, that overflows your life. Nahum said it to a rebellious nation. The Lord is good. My friend, listen, we ought never forget that. Because of all the things the Lord is to us, He's been very good. Let's pray. Father, again, thank You for